Well, looking to the Word of God, we want to recognize another characteristic of God tonight, and that is the goodness of God. This is actually one of those corollaries that God is love. Love, by the Bible definition, is seeking the best for others. And that, in God's way of doing it, makes Him good. This is an overwhelming concept for God, one that the world hasn't got to yet. Defining the goodness of God, because God is transcendent, He is not only transcendent in quantity, but also in quality. Not only is He that which is greatest, transcendent in extent, but He is that which is best, transcendent in quality. So God is the greatest good. John Calvin said that even the pagans understood this. He said, Plato meant nothing but this when he often taught that the highest good of the soul is likeness to God, where when the soul has grasped the knowledge of God, it is wholly transformed into His likeness. Being good is being like God. And even Plato understood that, not being a Christian. Because God is transcendent in quality, therefore He must be transcendent in both quality of character, what He is, and quality of action, what He does. He does good because He is good. Under the concept of God being transcendent in quality of action, we realize that because God is the greatest good, all that God does must be the greatest good. You can't say He doesn't always do the best good, though He is that. See, He always is consistent with what He is. God is a doer of good. Again, John Calvin in his Institutes of the Christian Religion says, because it, the pious mind, understands Him, understands God, to be the author of every good, if anything oppresses, if anything is lacking, immediately it, the pious mind, betakes itself to His protection, waiting for help from Him. We do that instinctively. As ungood happens to us, we go to the one who bestows us good. So, this brings us to understand the goodness of God. Now, this is clearly taught in the Scripture. So, defending the goodness of God, we see the Scriptures that deal with God's goodness. Exodus 34:6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and notice, abundant in goodness and truth. Psalm 25:7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Our phrase that we toss off, for goodness sake, comes from this very concept. For the goodness of God, we should be impressed upon something. Psalm 31:19, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. The psalmist here again sees that salvation comes not by his good works, but by trusting in him. Psalm 52:1, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Are you bragging about good things that have happened to you? It's the goodness of God. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You are good, and then the doing of good is ready to forgive. You see. Then in Psalm 119:68, thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes. That's a great basic concept. You are good. J.A. Alexander talks about this verse. He says, good, both essentially in his essence and actively, in action or practically. good in thyself and good to others. The participle denotes habitual, constant action, ever doing good. This is characteristic of God. Thomas Manton, old Puritan, he is good of himself, good in himself, yea, good itself. This is what I'd like to impress upon you tonight. There is none good above him or beside him or beyond him. It is all from him and in him, if it be good. He is primitively and originally good. Autogathos, I think he might have invented that word, I don't know. Good of himself, which nothing else is. For all creatures are good only by participation and communication from God. Manton pointed out that thou art good speaks of God as he is in himself, and doest good is an event within the story of God's life with the world he created. Aside from creation, God is good. That's who he is. You can't define him by human action because humans were invented later than God. So the original good, the primitive, the original good, is with God. This is who he is. This is his characteristic. Then as he created the world and introduced that goodness to us, now he acts according to that goodness. When God made the world, then it was verified he is good and doth good. Manton encouraged the believer to dwell on the subject of who God is in himself. Not just, oh, he helped me win the money. You know, it's not just that I'm having a great time, but who God is. Here's Manton again. It, this dwelling on that subject, it is the fruit of deep and ponderous meditation. Glances never warm the heart. It is our serious and deliberate thoughts which affect us. To be ravished with love, affected with love, always thinking of love, speaking of love, expressing their sense of love, that is a work behooving or fitting saints. Jeremiah 31:12 says, therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, for wine, for oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all. Picture of the future when everybody is praising God for his goodness. Mark 10:18, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. John Calvin said, I do acknowledge that strictly speaking, men and even angels do not deserve so honorable a title of being good, because they have not a drop of goodness in them, but borrowed from God. And because in the former, goodness is only begun and not perfect. So he was talking about men and angels. Men have goodness just started in them. John Trapp, he both is good originally, others are good by participation only, and doth good abundantly, freely, constantly. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, saith David, Psalm 86:5, 119:68. And let the power of my Lord be great, saith Moses, in pardoning this rebellious people. And then recognize James 1:17. I come to this very often. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If there is any good, it has come from him. From the goodness of God, it is clear that God is gracious. Since God is the greatest good, he will, in his relations to others, seek that which is best for them. He will seek to reveal his good character to all. Such grace involves mercy and all other forms of his love. Well, let me share with you then developing the goodness of God. We spoke this morning of Socrates and his conversation about with Euthyphro about holiness. They finally agreed on a second definition of holiness. It was decided that the holy was what was loved by all the gods. Have all the gods take a vote, what they liked, that was holy. And the unholy was hated by all the gods. But Socrates saw a problem with that. And he suggested, for consider, is the holy loved by the gods because it is holy? Or is it holy because it is loved by the gods? So he means, did the fact of the gods loving something make it holy? Or did the gods recognize it to be holy and therefore loved it? And the consensus by Euthyphro was, they saw it to be holy, and so they loved it. Well, that makes it holy as separate from the gods then. When we think of this, we see that if the gods love something because it was already holy, then it was holy apart from what the gods felt. It existed as a holy thing, and then the gods responded to it. Socrates was asking, if the gods love something that was holy aside from them, what is the real source of holiness? In the philosophical way of thinking, this question comes up dealing with this very discussion. And they point to times in the Old Testament when God said that he wanted an entire country of people wiped out. And that is brought up and said, well, if a God tells you to do something like that, that can't be good, can it? It's granted a difficult thing to grasp, but we had a little, what is he, nephew, had the brain tumor?
Great nephew.
And
it wasn't cancer of the kidney.
Oh, kidney? Okay, I thought it was in the brain. Cancer. You understand that cancer is not particularly an invading disease that comes to you from the outside. It's when your own cells turn against you. It's your own body starting to devour yourself. All right? Those who loved his name, Cooper the Trooper, who loved Cooper were happy to see there was an aggressive form of treatment that would attack the attacking cells. Okay, why did I bring it up? Because this is what God does. When evil grows to be a cancer on the face of the world, he says, we must then take what is good and attack what is bad to stop the spread of the cancer. This is the motive of love, not of indifference or being above goodness. The very heart of goodness says, this will devour all of my people if I don't stop it. And so he tells his people who are listening to his word to put an end to this. He doesn't do this with every sinner. This isn't God's purpose. Only when it turns cancerous, only when it becomes an aggressive form that destroys God's people. So it's really hypocritical to criticize God for what you don't understand and say that God can't be good if he tells me to kill a whole tribe of people. We need to understand that this is what we have with goodness and the true living God. All good is considered good. It must be considered good because it is like the good God. This is our only understanding of good. If we divorce good from God, then good comes down to this rather fleshly thing that if it's good for me, it's good. Now, of course, that could mean me stealing from you. They were showing, I forget where it was, a place in Philadelphia. A man who had followed a disabled grandmother into the laundromat and was pushing a rack around, and then they caught him on the camera, and he reaches over and he grabs her purse and he runs out the door. The woman was in the car waiting for him, and they drove off, and some of the customers saw what was going on. They ran out to try to stop him, but all of this was caught on camera, so they'll perhaps find the people who did this. But they were, you know, aghast that somebody, this big kind of hulking guy, would pick on somebody that couldn't defend herself. She said she had about $600 in her purse. Instead of helping the weak, prey upon the weak. You see, let's analyze that. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, from whose point of view? The couple that drove off now has $600. That was probably a good thing for them, you see. Defiled their character even more. But having money is better than not having money, I think. A lot of people would consider that to be good. Wasn't good for the lady. Wasn't good for business. So what is good and what is bad? If we don't have an objective definition of good outside ourselves, we have no definition of good. Adolf Hitler campaigned for what he said was a good thing, racial purity, by killing the Jews and blacks and gypsies and, from what I understand, Baptist preachers. So the very definition of good and bad is essentially acting like or unlike God. What mankind through the ages has come to appreciate as good and lovely is just that. It's actually that which is like the character of God. There is none good but God, Jesus told the man. This is God, goodness is God's life interpreted in human action. When we are urged to seek God's will and not our own, a little voice comes to us, cries out in fear. What if he wants to harm me? I say I'm going to do anything he wants. What if he wants to harm me? What if he tells me to harm others? Why should I turn my life's actions over to another? The answer, and the great answer to this question, is God is good. There can be no shadow of evil, no maliciousness, not even unkindness in the work of God or in anything that he asks. Sometimes the spanking, it becomes stern, but it's always done in love and for goodness sake. Even what seems apparent evil is in reality good if God commands it. Spanking of a child is not pleasant and a happy time, yet it is a good thing to associate pain with sin. Even the death of a murderer, while not good for him, is good for the community. Stop the cancer that's hurting others. So, Jehovah God, our God, does good because he is good. Jehovah God asks good of us because he wants us to become good, to become like him. Let's stand, be dismissed in prayer. Our Father, when we recognize the evil deities that men have invented that sent people out to murder for money, we thank you that you are a God of goodness. We thank you that we can trust you with our lives. We can trust you with our children. We can do what you say that we are to do because we know, because you are good, you do good. We ask that you might help us then to learn of thee, to become like thee, and to recognize that this is the training for our eternal life to come. We pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.